folk, they don't look like they're too happy about being saved. But I'm glad that the Lord saved me. No regrets whatsoever of anything that I've ventured into in the name of the Lord. Let's go back into the book of Proverbs again tonight, chapter 1. The book of Proverbs, chapter 1, one more time tonight. I want to stay with this as long as God gives liberty, because I believe we're going to need more and more wisdom as we see the day approaching, and we're going to need God's help in sorting through some things that we're going to see happen in these latter days. I absolutely love preaching on prophecy. And I thought at the latter part of last year, entering into this year, I thought that the Lord was going to have us to maybe preach on prophecy and some things that I've been studying, and just knew that God was going to lead that way. But the Lord has not led that way as of yet. And I'm convinced with all of my heart, children, that we are in the very last moments of the last days. And I'm thankful for that. But with that said, I'm on guard about that. Amen. There's so many things trying to lure us away from the position God's placed us in. And as we get closer to the coming of the Lord, no telling what we may see arise in our own lives. My son Matt sent me a link. I was talking to him yesterday, and he said, "Dad, I'm going to send you a link of something I want you to look at." And it was concerning prophetic things and things of the end times. And I don't know whether you've ever considered this or not, but America's just not prevalent in prophecy. She's just not an entity that's going to be reckoned with in prophecy. And if you study Scripture, study the things leading up to the coming of the Lord, you're going to find out that there's going to be some nations that are just going to be totally obliterated, and some of them are going to suffer great destruction and great things that's going to happen right before the coming of the Lord. And I say all of that not to discourage you, but to encourage you to draw closer to Him than you've ever drawn before, because we sure do need Him. Amen. Amen. Proverbs chapter number 1, we want to finish up this chapter on wise words for wonderful living. Wise words for wonderful living. If I were to subtitle this message tonight, I would entitle this, "Is That Your Final Answer?" Or "Deal or No Deal?" How many of you ever seen that show, that game, Deal or No Deal? I like it when they slam that lid. I seen a guy slam the lid so hard he tore the whole thing up. Howie told him he'd deduct that from his earnings. Deal or No Deal, is that your final answer? If you'll stand just for a moment to honor the reading of God's Word. I'm thankful to be a Bible believer. I'm thankful for that. I'm glad that God has instilled that in my heart. There's no doubt in my mind of why, of what the book is. And this is the Word of God. No doubt about it. And I'm glad to be a Bible believer. It's getting to be the minority at a fast rate today. And a lot of compromise in that regard, in that area. And I heard a preacher was telling me that he was watching Jack Van Impe the other day. And Jack Van Impe, I understand what he was saying, that he's battling some cancer. And he made the statement that a lot of popular preachers of our time have now signed an agreement saying that Allah and God are one and the same. And I beg to differ. My God's name is never called Allah. He's God. God Almighty. He's the Rose of Sharon, Lily of the Valley. He's a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. His name shall be called Wonderful, the Mighty God, the Counselor, the Everlasting God, and the Prince of Peace. But He's never called Allah. And don't ever fall into that trap of thinking, well, they call Him that over there and we call Him. No. God is God. And I'm glad He revealed Himself to me. Proverbs chapter 1. We'll begin in verse 20 and read through the end of the chapter. And I won't be over a couple of hours tonight with this thought. Is that your final answer? Deal or no deal? Wisdom crieth without, she uttereth her voice in the streets. I get tickled. I never knew that till they pointed it out to me. Every time I get up to preach, Aniston starts crying. She does fine in the singing, choir, special. Let this preacher get up and her hear my voice and she'll go to crying. Amen. I see some tears from other people's eyes too. I make my own self cry at times. Well, we'll try this again. Wisdom crieth without. She uttereth her voice in the streets. She crieth in the chief place of concourse. In the openings of the gates in the city, she uttereth her words, saying, how long, ye simple ones, will ye love simplicity? And the scorners delight in their scorning, and the fools hate knowledge. Turn you at my reproof. Behold, I will pour out my spirit unto you, and I will make known my words unto you. Because I have called, and ye refused. I have stretched out my hand, and no man regarded. But ye have said it not all my counsel, and would none of my reproof. I also will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your fear cometh. When your fear cometh as desolation, and your destruction cometh as a whirlwind. When distress and anguish cometh upon you. Then shall they call upon me, but I will not answer. They shall seek me early, but they shall not find me. For that they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord. They would none of my counsel. They despised all of my reproof. Therefore shall they eat of the fruit of their own way and be filled with their own devices. For the turning away of the simple shall slay them, and the prosperity of fools shall destroy them. But whoso hearkeneth unto me shall dwell safely and shall be quiet from fear of evil. Heavenly Father, we thank You and love You, Lord, for this opportunity to gather ourselves around the good Word of God one more time. And Lord, I pray that, Lord, tonight, that, Lord, You would enable me. For I stand behind this pulpit realizing, Lord, that I'm not able. I'm not able to preach. I'm not able to do anything, Father, without You. Nothing of worth or of eternal value will come from me tonight, lest You do it. And I'm asking, Father, for that unction, that utterance, that understanding that'll be needed. I'm asking for that fresh anointing, dear Heavenly Father, that, Lord, I might benefit Your bride. I might benefit these that have turned away for a little while from the things of the world tonight to sit in the house of God. I pray, Father, that the bride of Christ might be encouraged tonight, that we might really see the value of wisdom, Lord, like never before. And God, that we might seek for her as gold. We might seek for her, Lord, as rubies and diamonds. God, let us go on a treasure hunt tonight and find true wisdom. And we're thankful for it in Jesus Christ's name. Amen and amen. You may be seated tonight. We've been spending some time in this book called Proverbs. You look at the word as proverb. Proverb. A verb is an action word. Pro means for or positive. So proverbs are short sayings or action words with a positive outcome. If you listen to these words and begin not just being hearers of the word, but doers also, your life will be prosperous and blessed by living by the word of God. Can I get a witness? How many would agree with me tonight that living God's way is the best way? God Himself has given us His wisdom in a book called the Holy Bible. And God wants all of us to be able to benefit from His wisdom. He does not shy from giving us wisdom. He wants to give as much as we can take. He does not back off from wisdom. I pointed out to you that this book, Proverbs, was written by Solomon, God's man for the hour of his day. But he penned this book and left it, preserved it for us that we might have it, and might be able to attain to the wisdom of Solomon, the wisest man of his day. Solomon had a knack for saying more in 5 words than some people can say in a lifetime. He can make a statement and make it just produce wisdom and flow from his lips with grace and with golden opportunity for anybody that would seize what he had to say. Here in our text we've read, and if you listen to it as we were reading through it, some very powerful words coming from the heart of God, coming from the lips of the Lord. Some words that many people don't understand God. They think they've got God contained in a little box. They think they've got God all figured out and God does nothing but good. I heard him described one time as the cat in the Alice in Wonderland. The Cheshire Cat, and said that, you might remember if you're of that age, that the Cheshire Cat sat on a limb and began vanishing slowly until all that was left was a great big smile of the cat. And someone has said that that's the portrayal or the imaginary that people have of God today. They believe that He's just a big smile. They believe that He's just here just to be good and let everybody do what they want to do and do as they please and just pat them on the back. But that's not the God of this book. Here in our text for the night, I'll get right into the meat of the message, into the crux of the thought for the night. We see the reach of wisdom in our opening verses. Wisdom crieth without. She uttereth her voice in the streets, it says. She crieth in the chief place of concourse, in the openings of the gates in the city. She uttereth her words, saying. The reach of wisdom, and the way that the Bible portrays this reach of wisdom is that wisdom is everywhere. That the wisdom of God is everywhere, just beckoning for somebody to listen to what she's got to say. If you notice in our text that wisdom is painted as being a beautiful lady, it says she. I don't believe it uses the female pronoun because women are necessarily smarter than men. But I believe that God has likened wisdom in this passage unto a female because females are dainty, they're ladies. And wisdom is being offered and portrayed to us in this passage as being a beautiful lady that's everywhere, that's in the streets, she's in the concourse, she's in the chief places, she's everywhere, and she's crying unto whosoever to listen to what she has to say. Her reach is in the city streets. It's in the chief places. Her reach is in the courts. You look at the history of America and consider what this verse is trying to get across to us. You study the history of America and you'll find out that in the Washington Monument, 555 feet on the very top of the Washington Monument are these words, "Praise ye the Lord." In the staircase and going up the Washington Monument, there's in the bricks of that staircase, there's etched words such as "train up a child in the way that he should go, and when he's old, he will not depart from it." Another scripture there etched in those bricks is "holiness unto the Lord." Wisdom is everywhere. I've seen wisdom on street corners in a little track. I've seen wisdom in a break room where a lost railroader needed to hear from wisdom. I've seen God put wisdom in motel rooms. I've seen God put wisdom on street corners with street preachers. I've seen God put wisdom in every location so that somebody can get a hold of wisdom. I've seen God do that. And here, the reach of wisdom is everywhere. I just read where Freedom from Religion Alliance is wanting to outlaw Bibles in motels. They're wanting for every motel to take the Bibles that the Gideons have placed there free of charge. They're wanting to take those Bibles out of the motel because they say that those Bibles are a danger to our minds. This Bible has never done me wrong. That Bible has never lied to me. That Bible has never mistreated me. That Bible has always told me the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Aren't you thankful for that blessed old Bible? And here she's portrayed as being everywhere. The reach of wisdom. Where she speaks in the streets, in the chief places, in the courts. Who she speaks to, look in verse number 22, it says, "How long, ye simple ones?" I'm glad that the Word of God is for the simple. You don't have to have a PhD to understand this book. You don't need to know Greek and Hebrew to understand the Word of God. This Bible is written in a fourth grade elementary English level. This Bible can be understood for anybody that'll just take it for what it is. It is higher than our thoughts. It is greater than mine and your thoughts. This Bible is the Word of God. And it can be understood by whosoever. The simple, not just the simple, but he reaches out to the scorner. Those that doubt that we even have a Bible. Those that even doubt that there is such a thing called the Word of God. Those that would say that the Word of God is of no consequence in our generation, that the Bible is just outdated and outmoded. Like I said this morning, we're the ones that are outdated. We're the ones that need to run to catch up with what that book's got to say. This book is God's infallible, inspired Word of God. This book. The reach of wisdom. The reach of wisdom. Where she speaks, who she speaks to, and what she speaks. Look with me in verse number 23. "Turn you at my reproof." She preaches repentance. You want to know how I can tell if a preacher is really a preacher? It'd be like John the Baptist. He'll preach repent. We're the ones that have gone astray. We're the ones that are wrong. God does not need to repent and be changed into our image, but we need to repent and be changed into His image. Repent, He said, turn you at my... Behold, I will pour out my Spirit unto you. Not just repentance, but redemption. You know what man needs? Man needs to be redeemed by the grace of God. We all need to be redeemed by God's amazing grace. We can't get redeemed by works. Can't get redeemed by baptism. Can't get redeemed by being a good person. Can't get redeemed by church membership. But the grace of God is able to reach down to the very lowest of low and lift them up in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Repentance. It preaches, it says, it tells us about redemption, but it tells us about revelation. And I will make known my words unto you. When the person figures out that there's more to this Bible than just do's and don'ts, and there's golden nuggets laying within the pages. Matter of fact, if we got our face in this book, we'd like it every time. If we got our face in this book, we'd like it. And who is talking about? Every time. Amen. Glory to God. I'm glad God just gave me that. Hallelujah. This book's wonderful. This book has set anybody free that approaches it as what it is. Amen. There's more of God to be known through the recorded Word of God. The reach of wisdom. But then I want you to notice not just the reach of wisdom, but notice the refusal of wisdom. Verse 24 and 25, because I've called, this is wisdom crying out. Because I've called and ye refused. I've stretched out my hand and no man regarded. But you've said it not all my counseling, would none of my reproof. One of the greatest illustrations of somebody refusing over and over and over again the Word of God is the day that Moses first stepped into the life of Pharaoh. And he looked at Pharaoh and he told Pharaoh, he said, Pharaoh, God sent me to you and He's got a message for you. Let my people go. And Pharaoh looked at Moses and he said, who is God? I don't know who this God is. I don't know. And that's an honest statement coming from Pharaoh. He said, who is God? I don't know Him. I'm not going to let your people go. And because he hardened his heart against God, God hardened his heart way beyond what he'd ever thought he'd go. Time, 10 plagues, 10 times Moses stepped in front of Pharaoh and said, let my people go. And he would start to, and then he'd renege. And he said, no, I'm not going to let your people go. And it amazes me at the hard-heartedness of man. And after plague, after plague, after plague, after God just almost completely destroying an entire nation, Pharaoh kept saying no to God. And then God sent the death angel one night. And in that night at midnight, there was a great cry heard. And Pharaoh himself held his firstborn son dead in his arms. And even after all of that, Pharaoh said, why did I let him go? And he took off after the children of God and he destroyed himself in the sea of red. It never pays to refuse God. It never pays to say no to God. They asked a great saint of God one time, what do you owe your success to? And he said, I say yes to God every time. And blessed is the man that learns to say yes to God and learns to not to say no to Him. The one that has our best interest at heart. The one that so loved us that He sent His darling Son on the cross of Calvary. We should learn to say yes to Him. But there are people that say no to God and they refuse what God's got to say. We're living in the generation where they profess themselves to be wise, but they have become fools. We're living in the generation where they're ever learning and not able to come to the knowledge of truth. We live in the information age. We kid Brother Nathan about being Brother Google. You can be in a crowd and ask a question, Brother Nathan be the first one to give an answer, whether it's right or not. He's got an answer. So we've nicknamed him Brother Google. Y'all kid him about that next time you see him. But you can get on the internet and you can find out all kind of information today. And we're in information overload. We're just bogged down with so much information. And people just can't get away from all the information that they're getting from the internet and from Google and from search engines. And they're just enthralled at what they get off of all the information that they can find out from those. And there sits the Word of God, patiently waiting on someone to open the pages and say, teach me, Lord. Teach me. The refusal of wisdom. There are, you do understand, in this world, there are God haters. There's people that honestly hate God. The people who forged the Soviet Union were such a people. They hated God and embraced atheistic communism and promoted the Bolshevik Revolution. And this is what they decreed. They said, we shall grapple with the Lord God in due season. We shall vanquish Him from His highest heaven, wherever He seeks refuge. And we shall subdue Him forever. That's what the communists that formed Soviet Russia said. They've come and gone, and God's still on His throne. They've come and gone, and God still sits at the throne of this universe, being God. You'll never vote Him out. You'll never elect Him out. You'll never overthrow Him. He's God and always will be God. And no mass of armies can root Him out of who He is. He is God and He'll always be God. The refusal of wisdom. The reaction of wisdom. Wisdom does not force herself on anybody. She's a lady. But she offers herself to whosoever. And she, have you noticed that about God, that He doesn't make you get saved? He doesn't make you live the truth. He offers it to you and leaves it up in your life of whether you'll say yes to Him or no. And the reaction is amazing of how wisdom reacts back to a refusal. And He begins there in verse 24, because I've called and you refused. I stretched out my hand. No man regarded. Verse 26. I also will laugh. Wow. I will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your fear cometh. When your fear cometh as desolation, and your destruction cometh as a whirlwind. When distress and anguish cometh upon you. The reaction of wisdom. Laughing and mocking at those that refused what she had to offer. You read over there in the book of Psalms, chapter 2, some powerful words of Almighty God. And He says this, why do the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing? The kings of the earth set themselves and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against His anointed, saying, let us break their bands asunder and let us cast away their cords from us. Listen to what the Word of God says. He that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh. The Lord shall have them in derision. Then shall He speak unto them in His wrath. You know what I always think about when I read those words? The Lord shall have the last laugh. Man thinks he's outwitted God today. Man thinks he's got bigger than God and can legislate around God's laws. And by the way, in the Supreme Court courtroom, there's a picture of Moses holding the Ten Commandments. And they think they can outlaw God's laws and put their own laws in. And God says, because you've refused, one day I'm going to have the last laugh. Brethren, I just got to take recess right here and just thank God that I'm on the winning side. Amen. Thank God that I'm on the Lord's side. Can I get a witness? Aren't you glad to be saved tonight? Aren't you glad to be a Bible believer? Aren't you glad that you know the truth and the truth has set you free? Desolation, destruction, distress. When you stop and think about it, there's only two types of people in this life. The one type is the one that will look at the Lord and say, Lord, thy will be done. And the other group is the group that God looks at them and says, your will be done. You refuse what I got to say? Your will be done. Whew. Have you ever read Romans 1? Can we take time out just a minute tonight? Romans chapter 1 describes how man degenerates. How man apostatizes. There's three statements made in Romans 1 about God and his relationship with man and man's relationship with God. The first time you find this is verse 21 of Romans 1. It says, because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imagination, their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. Verse 24, wherefore God also gave them up. His first statement. The second relationship, who changed, verse 25, the truth of God into a lie, and worship and serve the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Verse 26, for this cause God gave them up unto vile affections. And the third time, and even verse 28, as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind. You know how God gets involved in somebody's life that keeps rejecting Him? He gets involved by becoming uninvolved. He says, okay, you don't want me? You don't want me involved in your life. You don't want my wisdom. You don't want my guidance. Don't want my leadership. Okay. I'll let you have your own way. And there is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. And we're living in the days of the judges, which every man was doing that which is right in their own eyes. And they're saying no to God, no to God's book, no to God's preachers, no to God's church, no to the Savior of men, Jesus Christ. They're saying no, with one loud voice. And God says, okay. And we're seeing the reaping of that today in America. The reaction of wisdom is she's a lady. She will not get involved where she's not wanted. She will not force her way into anybody's life. The reaction of wisdom. The last thing I want to point out back in our text tonight, verse 33. Or let's look at verse 32 and 33. For the turning away of the simple shall slay them, and the prosperity of fools shall destroy them. I'm so glad that he put verse 33 at the end of this chapter. And he started this very last verse with a little word, but. You've turned away, you've turned away, you've turned away, you've turned away, but God is always a God of second chances. God is always a God still standing there patiently waiting in line. But notice the very next word, whoso. I'm glad that word's in the Bible. But whoso hearkeneth unto me shall dwell safely and shall be quiet from fear of evil. It says if God stands in eternity and He offers, and He offers and He pleads with man to listen to what he's got to say, and man turns and says no to God and says, no, I don't want that, no. And then God one last time stretches out His arms and says, won't you please listen to what I've got to say? And He gives them one final answer. I'm sure most of y'all remember that show, Who Wants to Be a Millionaire? And they'd always, you know, go up the scale. I think the best I remember, they'd start at like $100. They'd answer the question. I used to love to try to play it. I'd get up to 100 sometimes. I would. I'd make it all the way up there. I'd kind of do like this when I did, you know. I saw one time they had a Who Wants to Be a Millionaire for those that never made it past 100. I said, that'd be me. Oh, that'd be humiliating. You know it. Because they almost give you the answer. But I was watching it one day, and this guy was up there, and they asked him somewhat about his life, and he said, well, he said it on national TV, I'm a Christian. And he says, I'm here today, and he said, I'm going to let God lead me. And so they started asking him the questions, and he knew every one of the questions. He knew, he climbed right on, he locked in at 1,000. And then he kept climbing the ladder. He locked in at 10,000 and kept climbing and kept climbing. Got up to $16,000 and his next step was 32,000. And if he got there, he would have been locked in at 32,000. He knew every one of the answers. They'd show every all four options there, and he'd pick the one. He'd say, I know it's this one. I know it's this one. I know it's this one. And he got to the 32 mark. And they flashed the question up there, then all of the answers. And all four of them appeared, and he said, I think I know this, but I think I'll poll the audience. And he did. He polled the audience and lost $15,000 because he listened to the crowd. I don't care what this crowd is saying today. Have I got a witness? I'm going to stay with the book. What this book's got to offer, I'll stay with God and let God be God every time. God has never let us down, never will let us down. God's wisdom always works. I guess what I've been trying to get across to all of us in these messages about wisdom out of chapter 1 is that wisdom is the principal thing in all of our lives. How we need the imparted wisdom of God working in all of our lives. I read a statement and I tried to portray it to Brother Warren this morning, and I don't know if I did a real good job of it. And I wrote it down. It made such an impression on me. How many of you have already seen God work in your life to the point where you know God's real and God's done? I want you to listen to this statement. It's just a proverb. All I've seen teaches me to trust the Creator for all I have not seen. All I have seen in life teaches me to trust the Creator for all I have not seen. I don't know what the future holds for any of us, but I do know this one truth. We can trust God and His book. Never lead us wrong, never lead us astray. God will always tell us the truth. Can I get a witness? Let's all stand tonight.